RV. Radio UNAD Virtual, emisora de la UNAD Colombia, para una audiencia global.
Las opiniones expresadas a continuación son única y exclusivamente responsabilidad de los invitados y no comprometen a Radio UNAD Virtual.
Bienvenidos.
Una producción realizada para Soundtrack. Las mejores bandas sonoras han llegado a tus oídos.
Historia y opinión de tus películas favoritas.
Espectacular, poco convencional, auténtico y único. Todo esto y mucho más aquí en Soundtrack.
Tu programa preferido en Radio UNAD Virtual. Dale play.
Acción. Suspenso.
Aventura.
Drama. Comedia.
Terror.
Musical. Ciencia ficción.
Todo esto y mucho más en Soundtrack.
A new episode of Soundtrack is underway. I am Tatiana Zarate, and joining me at the mic is Ricardo Borges, a creative mind, advertising expert, and music lover who sees storytelling is every sound. At the master control is our fantastic colleague Stephanie Hernandez, and today we have a very special guest, Sebastian Garcia, a brilliant musician, a skilled sound engineer, and musicologist who teaches at UNAD and lives and breathes the cinematic sound universe.
Okay, hey there. Welcome to a special edition of Soundtrack, the show where every story finds its melody. I'm Ricardo Borges, and today we are heading out on a musical journey through one of the most powerful forces in modern music, the Anglo-Saxon music world. From London to Los Angeles, from the swinging 60s to the edge of 2025. Yes, in this episode, we'll dive into the tunes that have echoed through time, melodies that help us dream, that play during laughter and heartbreak, that became anthems of rebellion, peace and love. And that's not all. We got an exclusive interview with the professor Sebastian Garcia, a true Jedi of music, a plus few voices from UNAD professors who'll be sharing their all-time favorite bands. So, turn that volume up, put on your headphones, and ride with us through the sonic adventure, because today, more than ever, we celebrate that life has a soundtrack, and many of those unforgettable tracks are in English. Ready? Let's get started.
Hoy en Soundtrack.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
King. And you
For decades, Anglo-Saxon music has been the unofficial language of motions. Honestly, who hasn't sung along to a song without really knowing what the lyrics meant? From Beatles vinyls to Billie Eilish on TikTok, English has become the most widely heard musical language on the planet.
Good, Tatiana. Talking about Anglo-Saxon music isn't just about the language. It's about revolution, style, rebellion, and pop culture. We're talking about a movement that broke through borders, language, genres, and entire generations. It didn't just play. It transformed everything that touched.
Exactly. Anglo-Saxon music isn't just a genre, it's a movement.
It's how the world has been reverberating since the early 20th century, driven by sons born in the USA, England, Scotland, Ireland, and other English-speaking countries. It's the pills that shaped how generations feel, move, and express themselves. That's right. And its roots go deep into the African-American blues and gospel. Did you know, Tatiana, that enslaved people used to sing songs to communicate across the fields? That's where the spirituals were born. From there, we move into jazz with legends like Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, lining the way. Then came rock and rock and roll, with Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Elvis Presley igniting the stage. And that's when the revolution truly kicked off. But it was in Liverpool where the wave exploded with the Beatles, a band that changed everything and drew a clear line in music history, before, after them.
Exactly. And let's not forget how the British invasion reshaped the global music map. After the Beatles came the Rolling Stones, The Who, Led Zeppelin, then came David Bowie, Queen, The Police, and later Radiohead, Coldplay, and Arctic Monkeys, each adding their own charter to this unstoppable wave.
And of course, we can't leave out the powerhouse female voices. From Janis Joplin to Stevie Nicks to Adele, Amy Winehouse and Florence Welch, each one brought on a unique sound, a signature style, and a soul that still echoes through every note. And as if that weren't enough, this musical universe has also given us cinematic masterpieces. Anglo-Saxon soundtracks have told the stories behind some of the most iconic films of all time, like Titanic, Forrest Gump, The Godfather, Star Wars, and Harry Potter, and another more. They didn't just accompany the scenes, they became part of the story.
So, Ricardo, how about we keep things up with a look back at the bands that truly changed music history?
Yeah, we absolutely have to start with the Beatles, four guys from Liverpool who back in the 60s turned the music world upside down. Yesterday, Hey Jude, All You Need Is Love, honestly, is there anything more universal than those songs? Then came the era of powerful rock. Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, the Rolling Stones, bands that broke all the rules and turning their music into anthems. Just listen to this. And in the 80s came U2, Did You Know Bono, The Edge, Clayton and Mulling wrote Sunday Bloody Sunday, pure genius.
Meanwhile, across the ocean in the US, pop was exploding with Madonna and Michael Jackson that found a powerful voice with Public Enemy and Zip. Grunge was rising with Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Each one different, each one unforgettable. What's beautiful is that every generation has its own sound. For me, Coldplay is pure nostalgia. Remember this little piece?
When you try your best but you don't succeed.
All right, and with that vibe, let's go keep going. Because if we're talking about emotion, there's one name that deserves musical altar of its own, John Williams. We'll be right back with an interview that's going to blow your mind.
In Soundtrap, el personaje es usted.
As we said before, we're here with the professor Sebastián García. He's here to walk us through the genius of John Williams and help us understand why his music still resonates across generations. Let's listen. Sebastián, could you give us a very brief introduction of John Williams and why he is such a significant figure in film music?
Thanks, Ricardo and Tatiana. I'm really glad to be here talking about John Williams and his unforgettable scores for Jaws and Star Wars. Maybe the name John Williams isn't quite as well known as Beethoven, Mozart, or Bach, or even big names like Frank Sinatra, Michael Jackson, or The Beatles. But I'm pretty sure everyone has heard his music through some of the biggest movie blockbusters of all time. I mean, who hasn't heard or even hummed the music theme from Superman, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, or Schindler's List?
Good, this is a very good selection about the history of John Williams. It's a very, very good person and very, very beautiful. Okay.
Well, that's John Williams. He's the genius behind some of the most iconic film scores of all time. He has composed music for over 100 films, including the ones we just heard. And, of course, Star Wars, Jaws, Home Alone, Harry Potter, E.T. and Saving Private Ryan, just to name a few. He's been nominated for more than 50 Academy Awards, and in my opinion, along with Max Steiner, he's one of the greatest film composers of all time. For me, John Williams is like the Mozart or even the Michael Jackson of film composers.
Good. Thank you, Sebastian. Before we dive into John Williams' works, we often hear terms like film, score, original, soundtrack, and soundtrack. How would you explain the difference between them?
Yes, Ricardo. Technically speaking, a soundtrack is the full audio that plays along with the movie. That means everything, including dialogue, sound effects, and of course, music. In fact, the soundtrack is physically attached to the film strip. You can see it alongside the frames. But here's the thing. Back then, in the 1940s, the word soundtrack started being used in a total different way, to sell music albums. Studios realized they could release just the music from a film and people will buy it. So these albums were labeled Music from the Original Motion Picture Soundtrack or Original Motion Picture Soundtrack. Now, there's another important difference between soundtrack and film score. A soundtrack, in the way most people use it today, is basically a collection, a playlist of songs featured in a movie. Some of those songs are made specifically for the film, like, for example, My Heart Will Go On from the movie Titanic, performed by Celine Dion. Everybody knows that. And others are pre-existing songs that were chosen to fit the mood. For example, I Will Always Love You from the movie The Bodyguard, performed by Whitney Houston, but composed by Dolly Parton a decade before. Now, a film score, on the other hand, is all the instrumental music written specifically for a movie, usually by a composer like, for instance, John Williams, Hans Zimmer, or Danny Elfman, and it's typically played by a huge orchestra or some other instrumental ensembles. The score is what gives each scene its emotional punch. It builds tension, adds drama, or makes you cry, right along with the story. And it works together with the dialogue and sound effects to shape the whole mood. That's also why the Oscars have two separate categories, one for Best Original Score, which is, of course, the instrumental music, and one for Best Original Song, which is a song written for a movie.
Okay, good, good. It's very, very interesting to understand that difference because it's very important for the storytelling of the movies.
Yes.
Okay, well, getting into the subject of John Williams, what was the state of film music before his appearance in the second half of the 20th century?
Well, first, it's good to keep in mind that movies are still pretty new, no more than a century old. In the beginning, it was all silent films, no dialogue, just live music in theaters. But everything changed in 1927 with The Jazz Singer, the first big sound movie. That marked the beginning of the golden age of Hollywood between the 1930s and the 50s. It was golden because of the incredible amount of movies that were produced during this time. I believe over 500 movies a year. That's pretty amazing. This was also when the studio system really took off with huge budgets, not only for sets and costumes, but also for music too. Studios start hiring professional composers who wrote scores that match each film's narrative. And we're talking about these big scores, full symphony orchestras with their strings, brass, woodwinds, and percussion sections. These soundtracks added so much emotion and drama to the scenes, so this was a time of epic storytelling, amazing visuals, and equally powerful music. One of the biggest names in music was Max Steiner, often called the father of film music. He's the one behind the music for King Kong, Gone with the Wind, and Casablanca. But then TV came along in the 50s and people started staying home instead of going to the movies. That meant smaller budgets for films, and one of the first things to be cancelled were the studio orchestras. So composers had to adapt and film music shipped away from the big orchestral scores toward pop songs and hit singles. For instance, you can think about Moon River, that beautiful song from Breakfast at Tiffany's, or for example, from the movies from the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night, a collection of songs. So by the 60s and 70s, big orchestral film scores were no longer preferred. Jazz, rock, and even electronic music were taking over. And here's the twist. Right around that time, John Williams shows up in the film music industry. And he's a kind of a romantic. He loved the old school composers like Max Steiner and that rich symphonic sound from the Golden Age. He worked as a studio pianist for films as West Side Story, To Kill a Mockingbird, and he also began composing for television for the Gilligan Island, and soon he became known for several films like The Poseidon Adventure and The Fiddler in the Roof, his first Academy Award. And that's what I really want to talk about today, how John Williams brought that big Hollywood sound back in the late 70s with the help of two young filmmakers, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, with Jaws and Star Wars.
Star Wars is a very important film in the history of the movies and films, is good.
Yes.
Okay, Sebastian, could you tell us about the musical creation of Jaws from 1975 and why its music became such a crucial element for the film's impact and success?
Of course, Ricardo. The Jaws theme is perhaps one of the most recognizable themes of all time. I mean, even if you haven't seen the film, you know that music. It's iconic. Now, Steven Spielberg was actually a big fan of those old Hollywood classics, the Golden Age, with the huge orchestral soundtrack. That's one of the reasons he really connected with John Williams' style. So when he made his first movie, The Sugarland Express, in 1974, he brought Williams on board and they just clicked into a long-time relationship. But before we jump into the music of Jaws, we need to explain two musical features that Williams often uses in his work. First is the leitmotif. A leitmotif is when you attach or associate a musical piece to a specific character or an idea, and it appears each time the character or the idea is on screen. And second is something called the Mickey Mousing technique, which is when the music mimics the action on screen through rhythm or other musical resource like pitch or a different instrument. So by the 1970s, these techniques were seen as outdated and old-fashioned. However, in Jaws, they became central tools for the shark's leitmotif, becoming one of the most iconic character themes in movie history. Let's listen to the shark leitmotif. There's actually a pretty fun story when Williams first showed his idea to Spielberg, playing just two notes on the piano. Spielberg laughed, thinking it was a joke, as he had been expecting something more huge and melodical. But after hearing the notes again, played at different speeds, he agreed, saying, and I quote, "Sometimes the best ideas are the simplest one," and John Williams had found a signature for the entire score. Now, that shark theme, the one we just heard, is what musicians call an ostinato. An ostinato is a simple alternating pattern between notes, in this case the E and F note, played by the low strings, the double basses, and the cellos. But here's the genius part. This ostinato represents the shark's point of view. The shark is coming after you, and those two notes, repeated over and over, start to sound like a heartbeat, like the shark's heartbeat, slow at first and faster as it gets closer. That's where this cool old technique Mickey Mousing comes in, when the music matches the action bit by bit. Now think about the first attack, the first scene when the girl is swimming and you hear those opening notes in a quiet and calm ambience, and instantly you feel it. Something's dangerous, something's coming for you. You don't even see the shark, but the music tells you it's there. That's the genius of John Williams. The shark doesn't show up visually,
for the first whole hour of the movie. That's pretty amazing. But thanks to the music, its presence is everywhere and it's frightening. That's why this music played a huge role in Jaws' success. It basically saved the movie. Spielberg even said that he had a shark, this ludicrous and ridiculous animatronic that didn't work, but John Williams gave him a shark that did work through music. You might remember the news that after Jaws came out, people were afraid to go to the beach. That's how powerful the music was. And the soundtrack didn't just launch John Williams into the spotlight. He won his second Academy for Best Original Score, but also helped revive that big orchestral sound in movies.
Okay, it's very interesting listening to you talking about this, because I remember a lot of songs in different movies and films, and it's good. Now, it's important for me in this case.
I know.
Let's talk about the Star Wars from 1977, which solidified John Williams' place in the film history. What made the music for that film so distinctive, and how did it influence the world of orchestral music?
Yes, before we get into the Star Wars music, back in the 70s, sci-fi was the big new thing in movies, these science fiction movies, and it came with all kinds of new music sounds, like, for example, this weird music, this avant-garde music, electronic instruments. And then 20th Century Fox decided to take a chance on this wild sci-fi space adventure called Star Wars, and George Lucas was the guy behind it. Yeah. Now, here's the cool part. Even though sci-fi movies back then were leaning into electronic musical, George Lucas actually wanted something totally different, totally an old school with romantic music, like the kind you hear in classical films. That's why his friend Steven Spielberg recommended John Williams. The thing is, Star Wars doesn't sound like a typical sci-fi movie. There is no synths, no electronic music, no futuristic blips or bloops. Instead, it's more like a space opera. Yeah. Think about the Tosca or La Traviata or Madame Butterfly, but with lightsabers and spaceships. And for that, Williams created over a dozen leitmotifs, like the German composer Richard Wagner, who basically invented the leitmotif in the 19th century for his operas. So in the saga, characters and ideas are given their own leitmotif, so we can recognize them throughout the movie. Let's take a look at some of them. So yeah, that's the Force theme. As you probably notice, it's all about hope, bravery, and that mysterious energy the Jedi call the Force. The melody itself feels super uplifting and noble, usually played by horns or strings. You'll hear it in some of the saga's most powerful moments, especially with characters like Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi and every Jedi. It's not loud, it's not aggressive, instead it carries a quiet strength and emotional hope that gives the Star Wars universe its heart and soul. Now let's continue with one of my favorites. Yes, that's Darth Vader's leitmotif. also known as the Imperial March.
Good.
Totally different vibe. It's big, it's dark, it's deep as Darth Vader's voice, and you hear those blasting trumpets and trombones, and it hits you like a wall of sound. It's like this military march. And now, it's the kind of music that instantly makes you feel like something bad is about to happen, like the Shark's theme. And it creates a sense of power, fear, and control, like the dark side of the Force. Okay, now let's move on with this beautiful theme. That's Princess Leia's leitmotif. It is super romantic, really beautiful melody played on the French horn, this beautiful instrument sound, and it has this soft, delicate string background that makes it feel extra emotional. You don't just hear it when Leia is on screen, it also shows up during those sweet, love-filled moments between her and Han Solo.
Okay.
And finally, we got the big one, the main theme. That epic opening fanfare with the blasting brass that lifts you up the chair. The melody keeps rising and gives this powerful sense of hope, which is pretty much the heart of the whole Star Wars saga. It was actually the last thing John Williams wrote for the movie. And here's a cool fact. He even wrote it in the same key and the same music style as the old 20th Century Fox intro to create a smooth musical transition at the beginning. Pretty smart, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the movie blew up. It was even bigger than Jaws. George Lucas said, and I quote again, "I truly believe that the soundtrack is half of the movie. Star Wars basically will not be a Star Wars without John Williams' music." Williams obviously won another Oscar for that score, and it was a double soundtrack album and sold like crazy, over a million copies. At the time, it was the biggest selling recording album by a symphonic orchestra. And because of that, the symphonic orchestra made a big comeback, becoming popular again, not just in Hollywood, but with the general public. That's the kind of impact Star Wars music had.
Okay, Sebastian, it's good. When you talk about this, I remember Harry Potter and the Mickey Mouse in technique. It's very, very good in the head with them. It's very, very good. And that build that John Williams said to and built to all music, it's so, so good. Thank you. Thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
In soundtrack, la gente opina.
Okay, Anglo-Saxon music has shaped generation, but each person experienced it in their own way. That's why we ask a few professors of Framinat to share their favorite band and the song that represents them.
Okay, here are the answers, along with a clip from those tracks that might just become part of your history too.
Hi guys, I love Roxette, especially his song It Must Have Been Love.
which was used in the movie Pretty Woman in 1990. According to Billboard, the song ranks number 23 of the list of the greatest movie soundtracks. Even though it's a romantic comedy, but the song and the movie left an impact on my generation.
Hi, I'm Gypsy Anites, and in this space I have to tell you that my favorite English soundtracks are 1. Mrs. Televar by Zimmer, and 2. Never Now by the Great Showman. Mrs. Televar because I love ever since I saw the film a few years ago. I can say that the first notes capture you emotionally, and that's why every time I hear them, my skin crawls. And Never Now, because I consider it a powerful and emotionally valid. Every time I hear it, the emotions immediately will up. I think the voice is impressive, is strong, is vulnerable. Así que that is my 2 soundtracks in English. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of this special 300th episode of Soundtrack, a journey through Anglo-Saxon music, the heartbeat behind so many stories, emotions, and memories. Thank you for joining us on this sonic ride and that celebrate the power of songs and the legacy of John Williams' film. We got to introduce Sebastian to get greetings for his participation on this special.
No, thanks to you, Ricardo and Tatiana, for letting me share a few of John Williams. I hope you enjoyed it.
Okay, and Radio UNAT and Professor Ileana and Tatiana for introduce me and invite me to this very nice and very beautiful special for today. Don't miss our next episode, where we'll dive into The Idea of You, a film that blends romance, music, and emotions that challenge your rules. Until then, let the music keep your company. Always, goodbye.
Radio UNAT Virtual, emisora de la UNAT, Colombia. Para una audiencia global.